"Is it Guam?" the flight engineer asked. Then, after a pause, he said, "It's Guam, Guam." The captain chuckled. "Good." The first officer reported to air traffic control that the airplane was clear of Charlie Bravo, cumulonimbus clouds, and requested radar vectors for runway 6 left. The plane began its descent towards Guam Airport. They would make a visual approach, the captain said. He had flown into Guam Airport from Kimpo 8 times previously, most recently a month ago, and he knew the airport and the surrounding terrain well. The landing gear went down. The flaps were extended 10 degrees. At 1:41 and 48 seconds, the captain said, "Wiper on," and the flight engineer turned them on. It was raining. The first officer then said, "Not in sight?" He was looking for the runway. He couldn't see it. 1 second later, the ground proximity warning system called out in its electronic voice, 500 feet. The plane was 500 feet off the ground. But how could that be if they couldn't see the runway? 2 seconds passed. The flight engineer said, "Eh?" in an astonished tone of voice. At 1:42 and 19 seconds, the first officer said, "Let's make a missed approach," meaning, "Let's pull up and make a large circle and try the landing again." 1 second later, the flight engineer said, "Not in sight." The first officer added, "Not in sight, missed approach." At 1:42 and 22 seconds, the flight engineer said, "Again, go around." At 1:42 and 23 seconds, the captain repeated, "Go around." But he was slow to pull the plane out of its descent. At 1:42 and 26 seconds, the plane hit the side of Nimitz Hill, a densely vegetated mountain 3 miles southwest of the airport. $60 million and 212,000 kilograms of steel slamming into rocky ground at 100 miles an hour. The plane skidded for 2,000 feet, severing an oil pipeline and snapping pine trees before falling into a ravine and bursting into flames. By the time rescue workers reached the crash site, 228 of the 254 people on board were dead. 20 years before the crash of KAL-801, a Korean Air Boeing 707 wandered into Russian airspace and was shot down by a military jet over the Barents Sea. It was an accident, meaning the kind of rare and catastrophic event that, for the grace of God, could happen to any airline. It was investigated and analyzed. Lessons were learned. Reports were filed. Then, 2 years later, a Korean Air Boeing 747 crashed in Seoul. 2 accidents in 2 years is not a good sign. 3 years after that, the airline lost another 747 near Sakhalin Island in Russia, followed by a Boeing 707 that went down over the Andaman Sea in 1987, 2 more crashes in 1989 in Tripoli and Seoul, and then another in 1994 in Jeju, South Korea. To put that record in perspective, the loss rate for an airline like the American carrier United Airlines in the period 1988 to 1998 was 0.27 per million departures, which means that they lost a plane in an accident about once in every 4 million flights. The loss rate for Korean Air in the same period was 4.79 per million departures, 17 times higher. Korean Air's planes were crashing so often that when the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, the U.S. agency responsible for investigating plane crashes within American jurisdiction, did its report on the Guam crash, it was forced to include an addendum listing all the new Korean Air accidents that had happened just since its investigation began. The Korean Air 747 that crash-landed at Kimpo in Seoul almost a year to the day after Guam, the jetliner that overran a runway at Korea's Ulsan Airport 8 weeks after that, the Korean Air McDonnell Douglas that rammed into an embankment at Pohang Airport the following March, and then, a month after that, the Korean Air passenger jet that crashed in a residential area of Shanghai. Had the NTSB waited just a few more months, it could have added another. The Korean Air cargo plane that crashed just after takeoff from London's Stansted Airport, despite the fact that a warning bell went off in the cockpit no fewer than 14 times.